Big Hits 102.5, 1330. WBTM and Dr. Michael Moore from Sova Health. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Hutch. It's excellent. Thank you for having me over again.
Welcome back in. A very eye-opening seminar, and I knew that, or actually you figured I'd be interested in this, and I was, because they were giving this for hospital people, doctors, nurses.
Correct.
Anybody involved in this who has communication with the public, because high blood pressure is such a killer now, and a lot of people will wind up dying and never even know. Their relatives find out.
Yeah, that's correct. Our number one cause of death in this country is cardiovascular disease, meaning heart attack, stroke, heart failure, kidney failure, and its complications. So that in order to prevent that from happening, we know there are certain risk factors. So elevated blood pressure, high cholesterol, cigarette smoking, excessive body weight, et cetera, developing type 2 diabetes or diabetes in general can increase your risk of having an unfortunate event such as heart attack, stroke, or heart failure.
And high blood pressure moves across all of those. It can affect the kidneys,
Correct.
As you know, because that's your specialty. It can affect all kinds of organs, the heart, veins. It can cause strokes. So let's get into this. First of all, the first people to understand that high blood pressure was a killer was really the insurance industry.
That's correct. In the known as actuarials, back in the 30s even, they determined that if you had a relatively high blood pressure, high being 160, the top number known as systolic, or greater, that you had a greater risk of dying prior to them having to pay out the death premium. So they rated, as it said in the business, people back in the 30s. That type of awareness didn't translate to public health until really...
After World War II?
After World War II, soldiers returning, while they had high relative risk on a battlefield, when they came home, they had almost uniform risk of cardiovascular death because of abnormal lifestyles at that time in our country's history.
The speaker at that session, in fact, said he showed pictures of D-Day, and he said when they got back, we found out that the risk of dying they had just standing up was just as high as they did on Normandy Beach. And the physician said, we've got to figure out why.
Right. And you say, well, why didn't they do anything? Because it was not until really the early 1970s that the first research trial was done in Washington by a fellow named Dr. Finnerty, who actually gave patients blood pressure medicines as they were available then, and found if you got the blood pressure medicine over a 3 to 4 year period, you had much less chance of having a stroke or heart attack or dying. And once you had that clinical information, that gave the basis for recommending treatment.
And that's back when, for example, there was a wonderful story, and I have forgotten the lady's name. They told us at the seminar. It was a multimillionaire in New York City who went to Congress and got them to get money from this. And she was talking to one of the Congress, I think he was Speaker of the House or something, and said, I knew your daddy, and I had a lot of respect for him. He died in his 40s from this. We've got to figure that. And that's when they started creating all this awareness.
She worked through then Secretary of Health Education, as it was known then, Elliot Richardson.
Elliot Richardson,
and got his ear.
He was an attorney general, too.
About his dad. Yeah. And that led to the funding of a national high blood pressure education program through the National Institutes of Health, which was rolled out roughly 1972-73, and they began issuing these reports on best practices, best knowledge, roughly every 4 years.
And they came out with things for us, like there was a poster that you all showed at the seminar where they had a picture of a guy who was probably 45, and the caption underneath said, over 35, overweight, not controlling your blood pressure, Then the bottom line said, forget retirement.
Correct. Yeah, it's very powerful public health messages that hypertension shortens your life and creates tremendous disability. And more importantly, the program changed its strategy after about 10-15 years to focus on the benefits of treatment. So initially it was awareness, then it was treatment, as it's been since that time.
There was another one, Dr. Moore, that said, don't let your midlife crisis be a stroke.
Correct.
Talking with Dr. Michael Moore this morning. Interesting seminar at Sova Health about hypertension, high blood pressure. What they have found is the numbers are actually lower than had been previously thought, at which you need to do something about it. The bottom number now, at 120 for that top number, 120 over 80, that means you are what's called pre-hypertensive. You're in that direction. That's the point at which you should do something about it. But that's good news because, and I didn't know this until you had explained this, and I heard this in the seminar, when you have a pre-diabetic position situation, sometimes you can control that with exercise and weight and never get full-blown diabetes. Correct. And you're saying if you catch it that early, you might not have to go on meds all of your life?
Absolutely. There's been numerous large research studies showing that over time, if you don't address lower levels of the top number, the systolic blood pressure, it will always tend to get worse. And the good news is there's similar studies that if you engage in lifestyle changes, that's such as if you're heavy, losing weight, eating a so-called DASH diet, mm-hmm. which is a Mediterranean eating pattern, restricting your sodium intake, being more active, reducing alcohol intake, that you can prevent that progression, that worsening of the top number's blood pressure over time. So this new report from the American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology, emphasizes, number one, always get your blood pressure checked at least once a year by a healthcare professional trained to do that. And then if that top number is validated by one or more, maybe two to three readings, to be 120 or greater, particularly 120 to 130, you really need to engage in these effective, very well proven effective lifestyle changes to slow the progression. If the pressure is, again, validated at consistently 130 or greater, and you have other problems, elevated cholesterol, diabetes, smoking, whatever, other risk factors, not only do you need to do the lifestyles, but you definitely will benefit from antihypertensive or drug therapy.
And by the lifestyles, what you're saying is, and what I hope you folks are doing, is getting this checked at least once a year. And you're noticing he's saying, if it's high one time, have it checked again. That's because they know that your blood pressure is different at different times a day, different before you eat, different after you eat. If you're stressed out, if you just argued with your spouse about something, that's worth about 15 points minimum. So you get several checks to see consistently what it is. But as Dr. Moore is saying, now if your blood pressure is 120, they know you need to get control over this, and you don't have to listen to us. Something else, that was some of the notes I took that night, because we were talking earlier, the insurance people figured this out. They get paid to know how long you're going to live because they don't want to pay out something, you know, too early. They want you to pay. They want you to live to be 95, so you're paying all your insurance money all that time. That's what they want. They love you. They don't want you to knock off at 45, because mm-hmm. then they got to pay all that, but you haven't paid much in. So they figured years ago, if your blood pressure starts at 120, that top number, and that's amazing how that stayed consistent. That's where we're back to now.
Right.
At 120, your life is fine. If you're at 130, that will take 4 years off your life. Just 130. And that's where we consider stage one now, correct?
Yeah, and another point to be made is previous to this report, when you had your blood pressure measured and you were told it's 120 over 80, everyone would say that's fine. Well, it's not fine. 120 means you're higher than you should be. In other words, ideally, to be healthy, optimally healthy, your top number systolic should be less than 120.
So 115 or 118, you know, something like that.
Or 115 to 119. So if you're at 120, that means it will benefit you to engage in lifestyle changes to try to prevent progression of it rising to the higher 130 and even higher than that.
So the message is, if it's 120, you're not fine. That means you're
Correct.
Knocking on the door. That means you've gotten it to 120.
Correct.
And a lifestyle that has gotten it to 120 is the stress, the eating, everything else, is probably going to keep pushing it up
Correct.
Year after
that's
year.
Correct. So, and the other thing about the new report that's just coming out from the American Heart is that home blood pressures are very valid. In fact, physicians are urged to use home blood pressure measurements, or what are called ambulatory, where you wear an automated cuff that records the pressure, or just well-done home blood pressures you do with a validated machine, mm-hmm. they should be taken and used for determining where you are with your blood pressure as far as baseline and or what the effects of treatment are, that more so than office blood pressure measurements. For an individual patient, you're going to use both. You're going to ask them to collect home pressures, and you're going to do office pressures. You're going to review those with the patient and decide where the patient is, what can be done, if necessary, to do better, or if they're doing great, just keep on trucking.
And if there's any risk of it in your family, investing in one of the, go to CVS or somewhere, get one of these machines. They save your
Right.
pressures in there.
You can look at the American Heart Association website. It's just heart.org, and they have recommendations about which of the blood pressure cuffs out there are validated and effective and reliable. There are numerous cuffs on the market. You know, also, best advice is talk to your physician. what do they recommend in their experience, but get one that works. Make sure you have an opportunity to go by your doctor's office and have them help you understand how to do the pressure correctly. Hutch was very correct when he mentioned you need to basically not having smoked, not being upset, not needing to go to the bathroom, and sitting quietly for probably 10 minutes. The blood pressure needs to be measured by the machine or the device. You need it on your skin, not over your clothing. And then whatever the number is, if it will record it in the memory, fine. Otherwise, start a list, write it down, and take a series of these. Most people recommend you doing it once or twice, same time of day, if you're doing this, and record it, and then review it with your healthcare provider.
And I'm glad that you mentioned, we just got a couple of minutes here. This is so interesting. I told you we'd have trouble squeezing it in. We could talk an hour. But I'm glad you mentioned, because I didn't know that the American Heart Association has reviewed a number of these, because you can't go by the reviews online. A lot of those are put on there by people who work for the company or work for competitors.
Right.
You want one that's going to be consistent. So going with these insurance numbers now, and remember, we are saying now, if you are at 120, that doesn't mean you're fine. That means you're stepping into a trouble area.
Correct.
And there are things in your life you need to change, so you'll go back in the other direction. Insurance companies, the people who get paid to know how long you're going to live, they said if your blood pressure is 130, which is considered in hypertension now, but stage one, that's going to take 4 years off your life. If your BP, the top number, is 150, that's going to take 8 years off your life. And no, 140 will take 8 years off your life. If it's at 150, which is stage two, it'll take 14 years off your life.
That's remarkable. And the good news is you don't have to have that risk, because now any person's blood pressure can be controlled if two things happen. They are willing to work with a provider, healthcare provider, to achieve the blood pressure. The healthcare provider's able to work with you to get that goal. But getting to goal for your blood pressure, even with these new standards, is something that's very reasonably possible with any of our many, many healthcare providers here in the Dan River region.
And anything that you do to lower your blood pressure, whether it's starting to exercise, which is something we don't want to do till we've done it, then it feels really good. Maybe eating slightly different food, maybe not quite as much. When you get up from the table, you feel better. You don't feel like you need a wheelbarrow to carry your gut around. All these things that help blood pressure make you feel better.
They do. And one of the most effective, all these so-called lifestyles can help. The most powerful is known as the DASH diet, the dietary approach to stop hypertension, which is a Mediterranean-type eating diet, which emphasizes fruits and veggies, minimizes high saturated fats. It doesn't have to be salt-restricted. If you do reduce the amount of salt or sodium in your diet with a Mediterranean eating pattern, you'll get even greater benefit on your blood pressure. And the exercise, I would just make one comment to that. The better term is increasing physical activity. In other words, and this is what you do daily. If you have the option to take the stairs where you work or at your home, use the stairs, not the elevator or the escalator. If you're the thing that's better than anything is walking. Mm-hmm. It's often said the further you walk, the longer you live. But simple walking, you don't have to join a gym. You don't actually want to go out and try to burn through the blood pressure. That's not a good idea, because lots of times, as Hutch mentioned, patients with excessive body weight can have underlying type 2 diabetes. These patients have coronary artery disease. They have heart problems. So vigorous exercise can be detrimental. Simple, low-impact walking is outstanding, taking the stairs, et cetera. Being just daily, if you're a very active person, if you're in construction, my goodness, you're already doing activity. Mm-hmm. But try not to be as sedentary as Hutch and I have to be for our jobs. We mainly work through computers and pushing papers. So you need to get up and move, as they say. Just move.
It's interesting you say that, because we're going to wrap it up with this. Interesting you say that, because doctors say if there is one miracle drug, it's walking.
Yeah, great.
And they say that if you sit at a computer like you and I do, a radio studio and a doctor's office, they say get up once an hour and walk for five minutes, because that will increase your circulation,
absolutely,
which increases the oxygen in your brain, which makes your mood better and helps you think more clearly. 5 minutes of walking an hour erases all the stuff. Also, when you sit for a long period of time, your chances of getting blood clots in your legs.
Just move.
Dr. Mike Moore, thank you so much.
It's my privilege.
Takeaway is, if you don't want to exercise and you want to eat fat food, look at yourself. The insurance companies will say, is that worth 14 years off your life?
Yeah, Hutch, let me just take 1 second to thank you for having me on, and thank you for your support of public health in our community. Sova Health recognizes your contributions every morning thing. It makes a difference. You make a difference. And we do want to make sure patients have the chance to do better things for them. It's really up to each of us.
Thank you, Dr. Mike Moore.